Connecticut's casinos were initially spectacular successes, creating some 20,000 casino jobs and sending hundreds of millions of dollars a year to the state treasury in Hartford. But the casinos are falling on tough times in Connecticut, just as they are in an increasing number of states across the country because of increasing casino saturation. And we're seeing that certainly in the Northeast. Maine has its first two casinos. Rhode Island just actually 2 days ago finished the conversion of one of its two slot parlors into a full-scale casino. New York is in the process of amending its state constitution to allow the building of up to seven new privately owned commercial casinos. Massachusetts, as you well know, is in the process of selecting sites for three new mega casinos, plus I don't want to forget the slots barn that they wanted to build in Worcester. So what is happening as a result is this saturation is impacting the profitability of individual casinos. In Connecticut, for example, in the last several years, we've seen Connecticut's slot revenue decline by some 32% now. The state's take is down from a peak of some $430 million to under $300 million today, and it's continuing to fall. So one of the messages is that the dynamics of the industry are changing, and whatever the projections of a couple of years ago, these changes are absolutely throwing them out the window.
But what would the downside be for Springfield? I mean, it's the casino operators that are going to come in. They're going to risk their money in this development. If they fail, so what?
The main thing is that it is very, very unlikely the current projections are going to be met. Casinos around the country are increasingly becoming what are called convenience casinos for local people. And much of the projections in Massachusetts depend upon attracting large numbers of out-of-state people. And the question is, where are those people going to come from? I think it's increasingly clear that just as in Connecticut, they're going to increasingly come from local towns and local cities. I think it's interesting, given your question, which is a good question, if the developers are willing to risk their money, shouldn't we just take their word for it? The fact of the matter is, developers were willing to risk $2.4 billion in New Jersey and Atlantic City just a little over a year ago in order to open the Revel, which is the newest and grandest and greatest resort casino in Atlantic City. That casino was not even open a year before the Revel had to seek bankruptcy protection. So it's very, very clear that the situation is changing very rapidly. The second thing is that what we've learned here in Connecticut is that once casino gambling gets going, there is no stop to efforts by political leaders to continue to expand it. Here in Connecticut, for example, just in the last couple of weeks, the legislature has legalized the keno for restaurants and bars and taverns across the state. And just a day later, key legislative leaders proposed building slot parlors across the state of Connecticut. And, of course, the next thing is once you have casinos in, the casinos now want Internet online gambling for the casinos. So you can expect that in Massachusetts as well if the casinos come in.
You're a former politician, so you can speak to this with a unique perspective, perhaps. Why has the political climate in all of these places, including Massachusetts now, been so welcoming to the gaming industry?
The reason clearly is the desire to raise money to fill budget gaps. The question is that the way to do it? Is that the right bet to make on the future? The leading economist in the country on the impact, based on his studies on the impact of casino gambling, has come to the conclusion that on a long-term basis, the cost-to-benefit ratio is more than 3-to-1. That is, the costs to society and to the economy are more than 3-to-1 in terms of higher costs than benefits. Here in Connecticut, incidentally, one of the classic beliefs has been that the casinos have been helping our economy. Of course, now that the layoffs have come and that casino revenue is down, it's going the other way. But even on a long-term basis, I think it's interesting to note that Connecticut now is the has been ranked as the worst-run state in the nation in terms of overall debt, pension liabilities, etc. State of Connecticut also was the only state in the entire nation last year that had negative economic growth. So one has to wonder, just as many are wondering in Rhode Island at the moment, whether or not the state and the local communities wouldn't be far better off making the structural spending and revenue changes that would put their states and their communities on solid financial footing.
How hard is it to plant these seeds of doubt when you're going against a corporation like MGM that has spent a reported $10 million already in Springfield to market its casino project?
Well, clearly very tough. The casino industry has become a $63 billion industry and one of the most powerful political groups in the country. And usually opponents are not well organized, have very little money to spend on their campaigns, and usually year after year fight off efforts and become exhausted. Well, the casinos have very, very deep pockets and enormous patience. They simply keep coming back year after year. So the answer to your question is it is very, very difficult. The only way is for individual people to take an interest. And in Massachusetts' case, take a look at Connecticut. Take a look at what is happening here.